today's gospel reading contains a piece of the story about Jesus finding disciples who are going to participate in the work of the gospel. Next Sunday, we'll hear another piece of that story. And so on these two Sundays, we will be thinking about vocation and discipleship, which is an important aspect of being Christian and a very important aspect of our life together. Here at TSP, we've divided our work into four major areas. One of them is nurturing community and discipleship. When Jesus begins his ministry, the first item of business is to gather a community of disciples who are going to share in the ministry that they're going to do together. As we ponder the stories about those first disciples, it's natural, of course, that we also think about our discipleship. We have another good reason to think about our discipleship at this time of the year. Before long, as John has told us, we're going to have the annual meeting of the congregation. At that time, our nominations coordinator, Susan Craig, is going to present a list of names to fill the vacant positions in our church structure. Susan has been working very hard to find persons to fill the various vacancies, but her work is not yet completed. And we very much hope that some serious consideration of our discipleship potential will help to finish the nominations task as well. So next Sunday, we will provide some details of the positions that we're still aiming to fill. This Sunday, as I've mentioned, I'm going to focus on some basic aspects of discernment for discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? Why is it important? What does it have to do with who we are? Now, my own opinion is that being a disciple has much to do with who we are. And at best, discipleship should affirm our sense of identity, if not our personal and communal destiny. And that's a rather grandiose claim, I know. So let me try to explain what I mean. In our faith tradition, we believe that we are created in the image of God. This is one of the first claims made by the Bible about human beings. Now, to be created in the image of God has to do with our capacity to be morally astute, to know right from wrong, to exercise justice and compassion, to live lives marked by the gifts of the Spirit, such as patience, kindness, self-control, faith, hope, love. We have been created with this capacity, and our vocation or calling is to make the most of this capacity. And our discipleship is the process of growing into this capacity and living out our lives in keeping with the degree to which we have realized our capacity for moral excellence. We've been created to be such persons. That's who we're supposed to be as individuals and as a community. And in the language of our faith, we also say that God wants us to be such persons, and therefore, healthy discipleship is also our destiny. It's what God wants for us. Now, the Bible is full of stories about human beings who were called into this destiny. These are wonderful stories indeed, full of trial and error, reluctance and enthusiasm, comedy and tragedy, and the occasional success. The journey of discipleship is a typically human adventure. We see that in the stories of the countless characters in the Hebrew Bible, and we certainly see it in the stories of the disciples of Jesus. We like these stories because we can relate to them. those characters in the Bible are very much like us. Now, a common theme in the biblical stories is the identification of points in the journey where persons are particularly aware of their willingness to participate in the discipleship process. And by the way, in many cases, such a point is preceded by descriptions of serious reservations, reluctance, and evasion tactics before the point of acquiescence finally arrives. Think of Jonah, for example, who gets on a boat in order to get as far away as possible from his discipleship assignment. Initial reluctance is part of the process. I think that Susan Craig can confirm that for us. And we've all felt such reluctance when we've sensed a calling or have been challenged with a task in the work of the faith community. Nevertheless, the time can come when we're willing to take the plunge. And in the Bible, that moment is often characterized by a simple statement spoken by the one who is now ready to embark on the discipleship journey. Here I am. We find that phrase on the lips of several biblical characters in the stories of their calling. We heard it also more generically in our psalm reading today. I'll just repeat the relevant section from our psalm. The psalmist says, "Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you've opened my ears to hear, and I said, here I am, ready to do what is written in the scroll of the book. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is in my heart." In the context of a calling to discipleship, the phrase, "here I am," is an expression of personal identity and an acknowledgement of transparency before God. In the passage from our psalm, it's connected with the realization that the calling has not come on the basis of excellence in religious performance through offering and sacrifice, but rather on the basis of a personal awareness of an innate capacity to be a disciple. There's an awareness there of being created in the image of God. The psalmist says, "I delight to do your will. Your law is in my heart." The biblical perspective on discipleship seems to emphasize that it's in our nature to be disciples. We've been created with the capacity for it and a mandate to discover within ourselves what gifts we might have to exercise our discipleship. We often call this process of discovery discernment. When we talk about nurturing community and discipleship here at TSP, a very important part of that is helping each other discover the gifts we have for faithful living. And all of us need such discernment. As we've seen today, we also have a more formal process of discernment to help persons discover how their gifts might best be used in the ministry of the church. This is the process that Miriam Spies has begun. And during this process, Miriam will discover whether her discipleship might be in ordered ministry or some other form of lay ministry in the church. An important and a very intensive process for Miriam and for all of us. As we go through our processes of discernment, we maintain our focus on the discovery of the gifts that we have for ministry and service. Now, it's often hard for us to do this well, to go into this process with the right frame of mind. Many of us have been brought up with one version or another of George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion, My Fair Lady, and all that. Now, in spite of the controversy surrounding the play's ending, we generally accept the premise that anyone, like Eliza Doolittle, can be taught just about anything if only the right methods are used. And some of today's greatest achievers were obsessively trained almost from infancy by aggressively strict parents. Think of golfer Tiger Woods, tennis champion Andre Agassi, pianist Lang Lang. A recent publication by Amy Chua, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. Is anyone familiar with that? I hear that a piece of it has gone viral on YouTube, so, you know, you can look it up. Anyway, this book describes the strategies that Chua used to raise two super-achieving daughters. And these are the stories that shape our pop culture. They're the stories that tend to fuel people's dreams of success. But we need to get totally out of that mindset when we switch to our reflections about discipleship and the stories of the Bible. There are no stories like that in the Bible. The biblical stories describe journeys of discovery rather than regimens of training. I don't know what happens at Emmanuel, whether theological education is a journey of discovery or a training regimen. maybe Peter can tell us something or some of the other. But I hope that there's lots of journey of discovery in that process over there. In our gospel reading today, we have an account of the calling of the first disciples. The story is characterized, if we listen carefully to the story, by a sense of searching and discovery. What are you looking for? Jesus says to those who would be disciples. Where are you staying? They ask Jesus. Come and see, says Jesus. And by the way, this come and see theme appears again later in the chapter when another potential disciple asks regarding Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? The answer, of course, is come and see. It's not, Jesus is the one. Jesus will solve all your problems. Christ is the answer. But rather, come and see. Come and see. When we find ourselves on the journey of discipleship, we're on a journey of discovery. There's no map to tell us exactly where we're going. There's no program to describe the precise steps along the way. If we're honest, we have to acknowledge that there is no blessed assurance or instant salvation. But it is an exciting journey in which we have the opportunity to discover the essence of who we are and the gifts we have to contribute to the common good. The common good, of course, is ultimately meant to be worked out in the whole of creation, which is an overwhelmingly large arena for any one individual to work within. As individuals, we function best in manageable communities, and so we exercise our discipleship in and through congregations. The principles of discipleship that apply to individuals also apply to congregations. We at TSP as a TSP congregation are on a journey of discovery. Now we do have a mission statement and even a 5-year plan, but we leave room for the work of the Spirit to coax us into the discovery of new mandates as time goes on. Come and see is also an invitation to us as a congregation. We're invited to come and see what a church congregation might have to offer the increasingly secular world at our doorstep. We're invited to come and see if the establishment of a Center for Faith, Justice, and the Arts will capture that world's imagination and serve as a vehicle for the exercise of our discipleship. We're invited to come and see what sort of movement of the Spirit is lurking around the corner to revitalize our world with a renewed desire for social justice and humanitarian compassion. We're invited to dream about such possibilities, to discover signs of their presence, to seize opportunities for the exercise of a discipleship that honors God's love for the world. Ultimately, the journey of discipleship is taken in response to the invitation to come and see what we might discover in a very uncertain future. Are we ready for such a journey? Who knows? Well, actually, God knows. And we have been created in the image of God, with the capacity to step into the journey ahead with all the resources that we need. For the moment, let us just try to grasp that we are indeed so equipped, and then make a simple acknowledgement. Here we are. Here I am. So be it. Amen.